Where did we come from? This is one of the biggest questions facing the world at large today. Scientists, philosophers, and people of the general public all come to a point in their lives or in some study where they ask themselves, how did this all begin? This question is the source of many theories and hypotheses that, upon close examination, seem the stuff of a science fiction series. From theories that we all came from some primordial muck, or that molecules slowly evolved on the backs of crystals until complex human life could emerge, to ideas that maybe it was some higher being within the natural realm that put us here. Aliens, if you will. In all seriousness, these are some of the best theories that great minds of our modern day and age can come up with. If some of these theories sound ridiculous to you, the reason why will soon become clear as we study today some aspects of Christian evidences and proof that will strengthen your faith in the fact that there is a God, an almighty creator who is Lord of all. Those of us in the Church of Christ believe the creation story found in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. You will find, however, that many people today believe this to be the impossible. They see this as some fantastic fairy tale that can never stand up under the scrutiny of logic and reasoning. They will tell you that your claims are contrary to all the laws of science. This morning we will examine their position to see if it holds up. We will also compare their best theories about the creation of the universe and see which stands under the weight of the evidence available. We will begin by defining the problems faced by those who do not believe in a divine and heavenly creator. To answer the question of how everything began, many try to consider a time when there was nothing. This is the major problem faced by modern scientists and philosophers who are also atheists. They have no way to explain how something came into existence when in the beginning they think that there was nothing. This is an impossibility shown by many laws of nature, science, and basic logic. At no time in the history of the universe has anything been created by natural means without having something as its source. Atheists today would rather believe that everything just happened. They want to believe that we are all here by some random chance and that existence is meaningless. Is it really possible to intelligently say that this all happened by chance? To look at the evidence and still be able to say that there is no purpose, no plan, no design. Let's examine some of this evidence presented in nature. After all, the Bible says in Romans 1 verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We're going to examine some aspects of a few creatures that can be found in nature that simply defy logic when you say that this all happened by chance. The first is the web-spinning ability of spiders and the capability of the web in entrapping its prey. Did you know spider silk is 5 times stronger by weight and vastly more ductile than high-grade steel? The power of spider silk lies not only just in the cocktail of proteins that it's composed of, but in the mysteries of the creature's spinnerets, where 600 spinning nozzles weave 7 different kinds of silk into highly resilient configurations. Strands of spider silk are stronger than steel, yet they're able to stretch by up to 40% of their length before they break. How could the amazingly complex spider have evolved by blind chance, apart from any intelligence? And if it really did evolve, how did it eat and trap prey during all the thousands of years that it would have taken to evolve its web-spinning ability? Consider next the bomb-producing chemical of a bombardier beetle. Bombardier beetles have a high-efficiency combustion chamber in their posterior that shoots boiling hot chemicals at would-be predators. How could evolution and blind chance have prevented this creature from exploding? Glowworms produce a light with almost zero energy loss. A normal incandescent bulb wastes 98% of its energy as heat. The gecko can run up and down a tree in any direction, even with its head downward. People have wondered how this lizard manages its gravity-defying locomotion. In reality, gecko feet are not sticky. They are dry and smooth to the touch. They owe their remarkable adhesion to some 2 billion spatula-tipped filaments per square centimeter on their toe pads, each filament only 100 nanometers thick. These filaments are so small that they interact at the molecular level with the surface on which the gecko walks. But adhesion is only a part of the gecko's game. In order to move swiftly, geckos can scamper up to a vertical surface at 1 meter per second. Its feet must also unstick effortlessly and instantly. It was discovered that gecko adhesion is highly directional. Its toes stick only when dragged downward, and when they release when the pull is reversed. There is not a man-made vehicle or robot that can swiftly go up and down vertical surfaces with the ease of a gecko, even though men are experimenting with robots patterned after the gecko to try and accomplish this. How frustrating it must be to scientists and engineers that blind chance is more successful than human intelligence. Evolution with no intelligence and without the benefit of a designer can accomplish what brilliant men fail to do in spite of all their mental efforts. Now, maybe it's just me, but I could never have enough faith to believe that all these incredible attributes of these different creatures just happened by pure chance. How could you find it more believable that random chance, a throw of the dice, could bring about creatures that are more advanced by far than anything the intelligence of man can create? Surely this is evidence that, as surely as we can look at the buildings, cars, televisions, appliances, computers, and every other invention of man around us, we can see that these were all designed by some intelligence. How then can we look at the intricacies of nature and claim that it is the product of blind chance? On the contrary, nature, with its design of a level far beyond human ability, is evidence of an intelligence far beyond the level of man. Now, to this evidence, many would reply that evolution is the answer. Let me provide two more evidences from nature that cannot have been the products of evolution, but instead show evidence of design. Nature is constantly giving us this evidence of design and order, from the smallest molecules to the grandest magnitudes. If you closely examine a snowflake under a microscope, you'll find that it's not just a random collection of water molecules frozen, but it's orderly. Every angle of it is either a 30, 60, or a 90 degree angle. Also, no two snowflakes are the same. On the other side of the scale, consider our solar system and the universe. It is commonly known that the moon revolves around the earth and the earth in turn revolves around the sun. Why this order? I suppose for these three objects to be orderly and have these orbits is possible, however unlikely, through pure chance. But let's move out a little further in the universe. The sun also orbits the galactic center of the Milky Way galaxy. Not only that, but scientists have recently discovered that our galaxy is also orbiting a central point. Now, considering that our galaxy is made up of many solar systems, which in turn are comprised of stars, planets, and moons all orbiting one another, who would still argue that this grand universe in which we live originated by pure chance? You know, their theory is that it all came from this little supercondensed particle and exploded outward. Well, logic would say that if it exploded into all these different planets, they would just be scattered everywhere, with no pattern, completely random. You don't find that in our universe today. What you find are galaxies. Everything is clustered. They're all orbiting, following a central gravitational pull, and they just don't happen like what they say it should if their theories are true. True science itself stands up to say that evolution cannot be the answer. In the most basic sense, a scientific fact is an objective and verifiable observation in contrast with a hypothesis or a theory which is intended to explain or interpret facts. Thus, evolution not meeting these qualifications is denied the status of fact and remains to be a mere theory. These are just a few of the many problems presented when one decides to share in the belief that there is no God and that the universe and all existence came from some other source. Now, let's use simple logic and deductive reasoning and consider the evidences presented in science and nature to see if the biblical answer for the creation of everything stands up to the test. We here today, of course, can answer this question of origins with ease. We believe that the thinking, living being that has always existed is God. Now, how do we try and explain this belief to an atheist? An atheist not believing in God will not accept any biblical proofs we present. Well, there are several arguments to be made through logic that point to the existence of God and the validity of His Word. These are known as external proofs since they come from outside the Bible. We will briefly notice a summary of just a few of them as it is important to be familiar with them, for they will not only help you in your studies with others, but they will serve to strengthen your own faith. Number one, there's the general argument. The belief in God is universal. All nations and tribes everywhere throughout history have had a concept or a belief in a supernatural being or beings. Now, if there is no God, How could this idea evolve of its own accord out of a no-God ground or basis? Can water rise higher than its source? If there is nothing in existence and except for material substance, and if material substance has led almost all people to believe in God, then material substance must be a universal falsifier, not to be trusted in any case. Number two, there's the logical argument. This is simply living things cannot come from non-living things. Louis Pasteur proved that a long time ago. Living beings exist, therefore living things have always existed. Thinking beings cannot come from non-thinking beings, but thinking beings exist. Therefore, thinking beings have always existed. Something cannot come from nothing. Something is, therefore something always was. And we believe that this something was God. Cold, dead matter has no creative power and shows no evidence of being eternal. This is just pure logic. It follows that if in the beginning there was nothing, then existence is impossible. If in the beginning there was only cold, dead matter, then again, existence is impossible. So far, the only logical explanation for the existence of existence is God. Number three, there's the cosmological argument. This argument is based on the law of causality. This principle is that every effect must have an adequate cause. The world is here. We cannot deny its existence. We have seen that it can't have created itself, so something greater must have created it. It is also an orderly world, a cosmos, not a chaos. Therefore, it could not have come about by chance. The only adequate cause of an orderly world is an ordering intelligence. Let's also notice a basic principle of nature. The first law of thermodynamics in its simplest form states that neither matter nor energy can be created or destroyed. This being a law of nature dictates or allows us to say that nothing in nature can create or destroy matter or energy. Therefore, whatever is responsible for creating all of this matter and energy must have been greater than nature itself. Logic thus brings us to this conclusion. Something must have always existed, so that something must have been alive, and it must have been a thinking being. This is the base we will use from now on. We have reached these conclusions through very simple logic and reasoning while considering the evidences found around us in nature and science. Now, these may all seem like obvious statements, and while everyone here may totally agree that there is indeed a God, we cannot neglect the importance of studying these evidences and arguments. Many today do not believe in an almighty creator, and if we are not well equipped to defend his existence and the validity of his word, then we will be rendered ineffective. While it is true that to convert an atheist is much harder than converting someone who does believe in God, we cannot ignore the atheist. It is not up to us to decide who can and who cannot be converted. We must simply do our best to spread the word and profess the truths of the Bible in any way that we can. I've recently been talking with an atheist friend of mine about various religious subjects, and a few weeks ago, out of the blue, he asked me if I believed in evolution. Now, unfortunately, at the time, I only had time to say no, and we were kind of busy, so it kind of just went on, and we didn't have any more discussion on it. But a week or two later, I was with him again, and I asked him why he wanted to know about my belief regarding evolution or even just the creation of everything. Well, he replied no particular reason. I could tell he didn't really want to start talking about it. So I asked him, why would I believe something that claims to be science when science itself proves it an impossibility? Well, he quickly replied that he thinks what I believe about God is an impossibility. So I asked him if he saw it as a choice between two impossibilities. He replied yes, and that his belief was purely a personal preference. So, many people today are just like him. It's not that they don't see the evidence. It's the fact that they believe both are impossible, and they don't want to believe in a God that demands some higher level of morality from them. Oftentimes, if you can get them to admit this, you can get them to agree on a study, and from that point, all you have to do is study Christian evidences, which will in turn point to the Bible. And that, of course, will point them to God. A study in Christian evidences is a necessary step in converting many unbelievers who do not believe in any God. You see, the importance of studying these evidences is that they provide you with the path you need to bring someone to study God's Word. To convert an atheist, you must first convince them of the existence of God, And from there, you can point them to God's Word, and the rest of your work will become considerably easier. And the final step, of course, is to study God's Word. The Bible reveals many things about nature, the order of the universe, and science. Many of the facts of the universe were recorded in the Bible long before man ever discovered them. In fact, throughout history, man's understanding of the universe and the earth has been incorrect and has had to be revised many times. The Bible has taught many scientific truths that man completely missed for centuries. Among these scientific truths are different categories. The Bible provides information in so many areas that, when considered all together, the evidence is wonderfully overwhelming. The first category we will notice is the Bible's consistency with astronomy. In the category of astronomy, the Bible tells us about, number one, the number of the stars. Before the invention of the telescope, men thought they could count all the stars. These men represented some of the best-known scientists of their day. Ptolemy gave the number as 1,056. Tycho Brahe cataloged 777. Kepler counted 1,005. Well, since the radio telescope, most astronomers agree that it is not humanly possible to count all the stars. Well, the Bible made this assertion that even the most learned scientists would not have made a few centuries ago in Jeremiah 33 and verse 22, where it says that the hosts of the heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. So will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister me. And then also in Genesis 22:17, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the sea, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Well, the Bible also told us another thing about stars, that each star is unique. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Another fact of science that the Bible expresses is the fact that the earth is poised in space, hung on nothing, and that the north is stretched out over an empty space. This is undoubtedly referred to in Job 26 and verse 7, where the Bible says, he stretches out the north over empty space, he hangs the earth on nothing. The Bible also contains statements consistent with biology. The book of Leviticus describes the value of blood in Leviticus 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is in the blood that makes the atonement for the soul. The blood carries water and nourishment to every cell, maintains the body's temperature, and removes the waste material of the body's cells. The blood also carries oxygen from the lungs throughout the body. In 1616, William Harvey discovered that blood circulation is the key factor in physical life, confirming what the Bible revealed 3,000 years earlier. The Bible describes biogenesis, the development of living organisms from other living organisms of the same kind, and the stability of each kind of living organism in Genesis 1, verses 11 through 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Also in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21 and 25. In these verses, the phrase according to its kind occurs repeatedly, stressing the reproductive integrity of each kind of animal and plant. Today we know this occurs because all of these reproductive systems are programmed by their genetic codes. Lastly, let's notice some biblical statements consistent with hydrology. The Bible includes a reasonably complete description of the hydraulic cycle. In several different verses, there are different aspects of this cycle. Psalm 135, verse 7, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Then in Jeremiah 10, 13, when he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Job 36, verse 27-29, for he draws up the drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Then Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. And then last, in Isaiah 55, verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So we see by all the things that we've noticed today that, number one, atheists have no answer for the origins of life and nature. Number two, nature will point you to the existence of a God or of some higher power. Number three, true science and the Word of God are in harmony, and true science confirms the validity of the Bible. And number four, the Bible professes the fact that there is order in the universe and that everything has a purpose. This wonderful facet of existence is one of the most amazing facts of existence. Everything in the universe is ordered and planned. It all expresses a design, an overarching plan. So now, what is this plan, and what does it all mean for us? Well, it all boils down to one thing. As surely as God has put order in the universe, in nature, and on the earth, He has order and a purpose for us in our lives. We have a purpose. We are to profess the gospel to every creature. We are to live our lives as a model of Christ. We are to worship God in all we say and do in our lives and are a living sacrifice giving back to the heavenly Creator who made and gave us everything. God created us out of love, and He asks us for love in return. In the Bible, we are left with all we need to live an ordered life, an ordered, purposeful life. God gave us a system that is perfect, beyond any system that man can develop for self-conduct. We noticed earlier how God's designs were far superior than the designs of man. In the same way, God left us a way of life, a law, and a promise that is greater than anything that man can come up with. We are citizens of a kingdom that is greater than any ever established by men. Today, the kingdom of heaven is as great as it was the day it was first established. It still holds the same great promise of salvation for man. And if you are a member of this kingdom established by Christ today, then you are greatly blessed. If you aren't, then perhaps it's time to make a change. We've examined today the logic concerning the two basic beliefs concerning God and whether or not He exists. We've seen how logic agrees that the existence of God is not only plausible, but is very likely. We have also noticed how true science and the Bible complement each other both point to the fact that something greater than nature must have always existed to create all things as they are now. We examine the Word of God and we've let it make its own defense for its validity. If you are not already a baptized believer and a citizen of the kingdom, then perhaps it's time for you to fix that this morning. Today we've heard the Word of God, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you believe what you've heard, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then repent of your sins and your old life. Make a change. Acts 17:30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Come confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Finally being baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:16. Well, if you're already a citizen of the kingdom and are feeling discouraged or have sins in your life that you would like to take care of, then now is the time for you as well. If you're one of either case, please take this time here and now to make things right in your life as we stand and as we sing.